Hello. Welcome to Roms Over Baghdad, episode 228, I believe, is the episode number that I punched into Streamlabs before I started the stream. So, we got Mary's here today.
Hello. Hi. I'm actually here.
And DJ's here today.
Hi, I'm actually here.
And me, I'm Jake. I'm taking over the hosting for today. Albie could not be here. His internet is busted. So you got me. You got me instead.
Albie, the guy who never is on the show, always slacking. Never does any work for this podcast.
Freeloader, man. How's everybody doing? I haven't been on the show for a while. That seems to be my MO as of late.
Yeah, same here. It's been like really cloudy around here, so I know weather. I'm half British, so weather chat. It's been really cloudy here, so like it's been pretty sucky outside. So like today it had like a decent day, no sun, but it was still about like 82 Fahrenheit, let's say. I'm guessing there. 20 C, so it was nice outside, so we did some gardening, even though I like absolutely hate gardening.
Yeah, it's hot here. It started raining out of nowhere this afternoon, which is kind of cool, I guess. But yeah, it's hot. It's summer. There's no getting around it. E3 was boring, so there's that. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot we had, like, quote-unquote E3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys talk about that?
Nope.
Nope.
Oh, okay, cool. Y'all are complaining about heat. I'm showing, this is the forecast for, I posted the link in our chat as well.
100 degrees, that's not normal for you, I would think.
We got excessive heat warning all the way through Wednesday, and I think it keeps going.
Wow.
Yeah, it's 100 degrees outside Fahrenheit.
Yeah, I see Monday's 103, Tuesday's 104.
Yep. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Low humidity, though, which is nice.
Yeah. Like, I remember going, I think one time was, one or twice was going to see my wife, in, like, peak August, July, August. And, like, there was 100 Fahrenheit days then, and then, like, once I was alone in DC, and that was also, like, a close to 100 Fahrenheit day. Yeah. It's excessive when like you're from the UK and you get like close to 90 Fahrenheit. That's it.
Yeah, but we got both our AC units running, because my roommate and I both have AC units in our room, but we don't have one for like the house is not air conditioned.
Yeah,
so he's been out, but I just had his door open and his AC unit is just cranked, and I got a fan in his door. And normally, my bedroom door is open. There's a fan out there, so I got my AC running. And it's like 80 degrees in here, so it's bearable at least, compared to 100 outside.
Yeah. So, Mary had this issue over the winter of, like, her house, or, like, Texan houses are designed to dissipate, like, quote-unquote thin walls to, like, keep hot air out, but, like, keep hot air out, so not insulated. Same thing in your region? Or is it like, because you have a much wetter climate?
I live on the east of the Cascades. It's technically high desert out here.
Oh, never mind.
So we get, like right now, humidity is 13%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's very dry outside. Which is, it's nice. I would much rather have the heat and the very, very low humidity than that with humidity. That'd suck. That'd suck a lot.
Yeah, no. It's only, like, in the 90s for the rest of this week, but it's, like, chance of rain every single afternoon. Like, we have the coastal air came all the way up here, which is why I moved away from the coast, but it happened anyway. Oh, well.
It was apparently 118 degrees Fahrenheit in Portland.
Oh, my God.
And I'm sure their humidity is way higher because they're relatively close to the ocean.
Yeah.
And they're on the west of the mountains, so... Good times. But no, I don't think our houses have that stuff just because it's in the winter it gets cold. We have snow and
exactly.
And then in the summers, like, we get kind of, I don't want to say the extremes of all the seasons, but in the winter it hitting zero is not unheard of in the winter. And we'll break 100 here during the summer every now and then, not this long, maybe it's like a day. You'll break 101 for a day in like July. July is like our hottest month, I think. Yeah. But it's not like consecutive days of 100 degree heat. Ugh.
So yeah, your houses are like well insulated and like designed more for winter, let's say. Yeah.
And at least you'll probably keep power the whole time too. So that's
plus. Oh yeah. Plus. Nah, we've got hella infrastructure around here. Like during the winter it can hit It can hit zero, it can hit -5 and there'll be like a foot and a half of snow on the ground. Power works, internet's up and running, no problem. We got crews out plowing snow. It's all right. It could be worse. It could be like Oklahoma or whatever. Was it Oklahoma that lost? They had like a massive snowstorm, quote unquote massive, in the whole state. Oh, it's Texas. Okay.
Yeah. Oklahoma got it too, but they're part of the national power grid.
Right.
So they were okay. it was us that, they were giving out warnings like last week. Like, oh, it was like 90 degrees or something, which is not. It's Texas. It's summer. Like,
that's normal summer.
We're supposed to be able to handle it. Yeah. So, yeah. They were like, oh, well, we had some plants go down that we weren't expecting. So, we're not sure if we can handle the load. So, try and conserve power if you want. But I kind of don't because they don't make the businesses. Like, skyscrapers will still have on all their lights and shit. So... I'm like, no, I have a baby. I'm not turning the heat up to 78. Like, no.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah.
It is not 80 degrees in my house by choice. But I've, like, normally during the summer, what you do around here is you open your windows once the sun goes down and you have all the fans, like, circulating the air because it'll get down to, like, 55
at night
during the summers here. Yeah, 55, nice. 60.
That's
yeah,
the desert it's for you, I guess.
Like, that's how, when I was growing up, we didn't have AC in our house. And that's just how we did it during the summer. And sometimes it was a little more warmer than we would have liked, but it was fine.
Deal with it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I made the mistake of trying that these last couple of days. And I wake up and the house is 76 already. I'm just like, oh my God, I fucked up. This was a mistake. But yeah. Summertime. Weather chat.
Yep.
It's also summertime, which means we had quote unquote
E3. Yeah.
Which
I guess we did.
Yeah, which I saw some cool shit.
I gave up paying attention to things because every single time I would tune in to like a stream for a press conference and I would be disappointed every single time. Like the only highlight really for me was Elden Ring. It's a Souls-like game. Surprise. Like, I kind of already knew what that game was going to be, but at least, like, they had a release date, so that's cool. But every other game that I cared about, nope. They were, like, MIA, basically. Instead, I get, like, a 20-minute preview for a Guardians of the Galaxy game that I don't give a shit
right,
about.
That was terrible. That was just awful. What stuff was missing for you?
Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2, like, Nintendo games that they talked about a long time ago.
Sure.
Like, Metroid Prime 4, Pikmin 4, like, there's a lot of stuff that has technically been announced that like the new Perfect Dark game. Like they talked about that a while ago. Have we heard anything about it? No. Like, I don't know. There were a few new announcements, but even compared to like last year, I feel like this was even more lackluster, which makes sense because it's been hard to do anything like the past year, I guess. But Microsoft was okay, I guess. I don't know. They at least showed just a bunch of trailers and no bullshit, so that was nice.
That was cool to know that that Outer Worlds 2 is in development. Worlds, not. I don't know if I want to play Wilds or not. I don't know if it's a me kind of game, I guess.
It's the goatee of that year. It's a good game. Yeah, like, so I was confused. That Metroid that they showed, Metroid Dread, that's not the Metroid game they were talking about?
No,
when they first said, like, we're making a Metroid. Okay.
They brought up Metroid Prime 4. They're like, as you know, we've restarted development on it.
Yeah.
And we don't have any information on it right now. But here's this other Metroid game. I think they called it, like, Metroid 5. Which, I guess, if you're going by, like, the side-scroller Metroids, that makes sense.
Yeah. It was, like, Metroid 5, and then they changed to, like, Metroid Dread.
Yeah.
And
that looks okay. I don't know.
It's a Metroid. I immediately phased out. I missed the PC game showcase. Was anything good there? When I asked someone in the chat the day after, they were like, it was kind of dry, but there was a ton of games that they talked about.
Yeah, they showed a ton of stuff. I can't remember anything just like off the top of my head. I should have written some stuff down, but... I can't remember what... There was some big stuff that they showed, if I recall correctly.
I tuned into the stream a couple times just on my TV, like using the YouTube app or whatever, and every time I tried it, it was a skit. So I was like, forget it. I'll just watch more of this Fisher-Price puppy song with the baby. Like, if I'm gonna watch something stupid, at least she'll be entertained too.
That Devolver Digital... one was fun. That was pretty good.
That was pretty good. Let's see. I'm looking at a list here for a PC gaming show, at least. Lemnis Gate seems kind of cool. It's like that FPS turn-based thing where your turns are like 20 seconds or 10 seconds or like that. And you have to like, it records your movements basically.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's how it works. Like, they didn't show any actual gameplay, but if that's how it works, if it works how I think it's going to work, just from hearing that it's from their description of it, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I've seen that before, or I saw something about that, and that actually is very interesting.
Next, Space Rebels. Like, that was one of the ones I saw the trailer for, and I was just like, I need this. It looks awesome. Especially that they, like, the first thing you see is that you're running, like, a fake YouTube channel, like Model Rockets. And then the first video clip is just a little bottle rocket or model rocket that goes up maybe 30 feet and then goes 90 degrees into a house. And it just hits the house and falls over. I was like, yes, I need this. And then you're making, like, junk rockets to go to space. that looks like a lot of fun.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So, yeah, it is like a bottle rockets, as you said.
That is like, you fun. Start super, super small. And I'm guessing you're supposed, like, you use the money you get from being a YouTube influencer.
Yeah.
And start a space company, I guess. Maybe that's, I don't know. Eventually, I haven't heard anything about the story or anything.
Yeah, well, I scrolled through a list just now, and I was like, eh. I don't know, maybe I'm just depressed with video games in general right now. Like,
is there a fake Slack in that as well?
There might be.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, there is. It's like a fake Slack in there. That's all right. That looks pretty good.
But yeah, Mary, you said you're getting depressed with video games. Well, maybe I think you need the Wholesome Games block or whatever it was called.
I should go tune into that.
Yeah. There was a lot of cool shit in that. And I think it was, I think a lot of the people watching it were also the same mindset. It's like, hey, we want something, like, we want to see some new shit. Like, give us some stuff that nobody's done before.
Yeah.
Like, I saw a bunch of cool shit on there. I went and I bought Chicory because it was on there.
Yeah, that's something that I did this week. I played the demo for Unpacking, which they first showed on the Wholesome Games Direct last year. And I really enjoyed that. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to check this out later when I get a chance.
There was one that caught my eye called Roboco, which looks like Besiege, but you're doing like menial tasks, like serving butter, stuff like that. I was like, that's awesome. It's like your objective is to grab this can off this countertop that's like 2 feet above you. Good luck. You got to build a robot that does it. That looks cool. There's some... Got to pull up a list here. E3. Wholesome Direct.
I put it in the Twitch chat. Yeah,
In the Twitch chat. Okay, yes.
Yeah. I didn't really have much surprise me this E3 or anything. And then Ubisoft, like, the leak of the Mario Rabbids didn't help them whatsoever. Did Ubisoft have anything else, like, of note?
The Avatar game! So. That's what they ended it on!
That was their one more thing. It was the fucking Avatar game. It's like, are you serious?
You should have just stuck with the Mario Rabbids at the end.
Yeah.
I was happy to see some more stuff on Rainbow Six, or Outbreak, or whatever the fuck it's called now.
The stuff they showed there actually looked pretty interesting.
I don't think the problem with it is that I don't think a lot of people know that it spawned from a deal, from like an event, like a seasonal event Siege. So people are like, what is this? This is dumb. Why are they fighting zombies and shit? It's like, no. This was like a seasonal co-op event that they did like 3 or 4 years ago. It was like 3 years ago. And had like stories and cutscenes and shit. And people really wanted that to come back. So they were like, fuck it. We're just going to make a game out of it.
It makes sense.
So that was cool to see some more of that. Stalker 2 has a date. Stalker 2's got a date. April. Yeah. Which means that game has been in development way longer than they let on.
Yeah, definitely. It looked cool. It also looked scary like the others, so I'm probably not going to play it. But it did look cool.
Stalker's not that scary. Well, the first time, not, I take that back. The first time you play it, it's spooky. Because now when I play it and I go through all the... It's like, hey, you gotta go to the underground of this abandoned science place and there's monsters and shit around there. I'm just like... It's just like a chore. I just have to go down there. And I'm like, yep, there's gonna be 2 bloodsuckers that spawn here and then one that comes up here. So, you guys played a lot of the demos, right, from Steam? That they did, like, the Steam Next Fest or whatever?
I did a few of them. I didn't do as many as I normally do, just because I didn't really have as much time. But yeah, Unpacking.
That's fair.
I played Terra Nil, and I played it at the beginning, and I was like, oh, I've totally fucked up this layout. Like, it's a... You're presented with like a wasteland and you have these environmental tools that like terraform, and I screwed up all of the placement of my stuff and I was like, forget it. And I closed the demo. I played about like 15 minutes. It's like, yeah, I messed this up. Maybe I'll go back to it later. And then I never did. Let's see, like, I downloaded the demo for Barren Breakfast, which I think was on Wholesome Direct, and for Grime, and Kitara Fables, and I haven't played any of them. Instead, I played Genshin Impact, a free-to-play Chinese game, right, on my computer. So there you go. Yeah. I'm terrible. Like I said, I was kind of in just, like, whatever, I can grind out these daily quests. And there's, I unlocked a swimsuit for a character. Whoopee.
Excellent.
Yeah. I went back into my hole of evil games. So there you go.
Yeah, I downloaded a bunch of demos. The only ones I really played much of, I played through the whole Sable demo.
Awesome.
I really hope they fix, or they uncap the 30 FPS. That would be very nice. But I don't know if the art style has something to do with that. How it's like super, like the animations are super low frames. But I mean, it was playable and it had a look to it, which was, I mean.
That seems kind of like the point of that game.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see how, like, I'm sure there'll be combat at some point that you don't get to do. There might not be combat at all. I don't know. But the bike that you're going to drive around is really cool, and the smoke effects are all super cel-shaded, and that game's got some style. And let's see, I played Lake for a lot longer than I thought I would. It's where you're just driving around and delivering mail.
Oh, yeah, I did see a trailer on that game, yeah. Seemed kind
that of demo was surprisingly broken for a game that's coming out in September. Let's put it that way. Like, there was a bug that I found very quickly. If you get into the mail truck and you turn the radio on, it start like all the sounds like outside of the truck go down. Like you can hear road noise or anything, which I mean makes sense because you're listening to the radio, right? You turn the radio off, those don't come back. So it's just, you're driving in complete silence, no car sound, no nothing. And then until you get out of the car and get back in, and then it fixes it. Mm. That was one thing. I had a couple of cutscenes fuck up on me, like when I was talking to people. Here, maybe I can pull the picture. No, I don't have Steam up. Bummer. But I've got a couple screenshots of like me facing the complete opposite direction from the person I'm talking to. They're like back behind me in the shot, like looking at my back, and I'm supposed to be sitting there talking, and then it'll cut to the other character and I've just got my back turned completely.
That's good.
I was like, but I mean, that seems like a cool chill out game and just slowly work through it. It's like, if you just want to go do some shit, just go deliver stuff.
Like Death Stranding, but hopefully with a better story.
Yeah, we'll see. Because you're this lady who works at a tech company, and your dad is the postman for a really, really small town in Oregon. Surprise. indie bullshit game is placed in Oregon on the forest. And they wanted your parents wanted to go on a vacation or something, but he was like the one postman, so he could never go. And you're like, hey, I need to take a break too, so I'll come and I'll take over your job for a week or 2 weeks. And then you're basically coming back after like 20 something years and meeting all the people that are still there or other people that came back. I don't know. I've enjoyed it. There was more to it that I didn't play, because it lets you play like 2 or 3 days, like day cycles, which take a little bit of time, because you got to drive all the way around and the thing's not fast. And the walking speed is not fast at all. It's a little slower than it probably should be. It's like you get out of your truck and you're walking up to wherever, and you're just like walking super fucking slow, like baby steps almost. I'm just like, okay, you're the postwoman. You need to pick up the pace a little bit here. Let's go. There is a sprint button, and she only goes like maybe 10% faster. So that was kind of funny, actually. But I think those were the only two demos that I really played. I tried a bunch of demos for like VR games. They're all fucking broken and they suck. There was, what was it? Like Into the Darkness VR or something like that. And in the tutorial, it's like, hey, pick up this gun. It's one of those spots where you go to a shooting range. It's like, pick up this gun and shoot these targets. And the guy who was walking me through it was still in the voice line of saying, hey, you need to pick these guns up. And I'd already picked up the gun and shot all the targets. And the gun like breaks after that for the tutorial. And then once he stops, it just stuck there. Like I couldn't progress. And I was like, I did the thing.
Right.
I did. Why can't I keep going? And then I stopped and uninstalled it. I was like, well.
Yeah, I played a demo that could have been played in VR, but I didn't bother hooking up my stuff. The List, it's a game like Her Story where you're searching through a police database of clips and you're supposed to like solve the mystery of this crime where a dude, he gets interviewed by the police after shooting an attacker. And they find a list of names on this attacker, and then the guy turns up dead, like, a week later. And so that was kind of interesting. The acting isn't as good as in Her Story. And I don't know. It was pretty derivative, and it took up a lot of space, so I uninstalled it and basically forgot about it. Like, it seems like a game I might have some fun with, if it's on sale for like $5 later on. But yeah, I'm not like, oh my God, The List, everybody needs to play this or whatever. Eh. It was interesting enough for like the 10 minutes that I got to play it.
Sure. DJ, you play any demos?
Nope. I forgot there was a like Steam Next thing. Same as like last year. I totally forgot. So I didn't even see anything that I might have liked.
I wish they would have these up for like a week instead of just the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it was only 2 days.
Yeah, it was only a couple days.
Three. I think they counted Friday too, but yeah, it would be a lot of help if it was just for a full week. Because what if you want to go out somewhere during the weekend? Like,
you shouldn't be, because there's still a pandemic going on. Whatever.
I'm vaccinated, dang.
Yeah,
it.
If you're vaccinated, whatever. Go outside, wear a mask. I still wear a mask when I go places.
Yeah.
Like, because it's not... I don't want to have to, like, flash my card to everybody. Be like, oh, it's all good.
Yeah.
I'm just going to wear the fucking mask. It's like, I've been wearing this thing for a year already. It's not a big deal. Just going to keep... I'll just... They want me to wear a mask inside? Whatever.
Yeah.
Not a problem.
The UK is trying to open up. We got that Delta though, so that's fun. But we're also doing that delay, so my second jab's only August. Mid-August? Yeah, around mid-August.
That second one fucked me
end
up.
End of August, maybe.
Second one fucked me up for a good, like, 2 days.
Were you Moderna?
Yeah. Moderna.
Yeah. Moderna.
My first shot was way worse, and my mom, who's like a retired nurse, was saying like, oh, if your first shot is worse, that means you had it already. And I was like, shit, I hope I did have a week-long cold at one point that I got from the baby after going to the pediatrician, so I hope.
Or you could have been asymptomatic.
Yeah, it's possible.
May have just had it and not had any symptoms. Like, I think that may have been what happened to me, too, because everybody's like, Moderna first shot's not that bad or whatever. No, I was out for a day, like a day and a half. I just felt weak and just tired. And I logged into work the next morning and I tried to get some stuff. And I could not think straight. I was just like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I think Judy and me, same issue. Like, we got sleepy at the end of the day, but that kind of was it, so
we're okay. Thankfully, my employer is off. They offered separate paid time off if for, like, COVID stuff. If you're, like, getting vaccinated, that's or cool. You have side effects or whatever. It's like, hey, you can just file your time out against this, and it won't go against your accrued PTO. I was like, hey, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, Gary's company did that too, which was nice. Hopefully they won't want him back in the office now that he's vaccinated, though.
Yeah.
I know.
apparently, like, everybody, even all, like, everybody that works at my local office, like, no, everybody's working from home still. Apparently, there's been like 4 or 5 people in the office, and the office has been officially opened for like a year now, I think. But people have just been slowly going, hey, can I just go work from home? We honestly should not be in the office.
It's so weird considering, like, as far as I know, America is open and normal again.
Some states are. We're close. We're trying to hit the 70% fully vaccinated. First shot. 70% first shot, and we're at like 68.5 or something like that, so we're close.
Hey, round it up. That's good enough.
No, nice. Our governor's actually done a pretty fucking good job. Like, I've seen how other states have handled the whole pandemic, and Kate Brown's done a pretty good job.
Yeah, if I start talking about Texas, I'll get angry. So,
like, she came out and said it was after the first official lockdown. She's like, "Hey, if we have to go into lockdown again, it's your fault. it's the public's fault for not wearing masks." She basically just straight up said that. I'm like, "Fuck yeah."
Yeah. The UK is in this weird conundrum where we're basically open. All work offices, pretty much everyone's back in our offices and stuff. Maybe not the full 5 days, but everyone's basically there, like, the entire time. Masks are, like, optional at this point to a lot of places. It's pretty annoying. But we also, like, at least, like, right now, we didn't, like, just open it up to everyone immediately, so only within the last 2 weeks, it's like 18 to 25-year-olds can get the jab. And we're still doing the, like, 12-week delay thing. So pretty much 18 to 35-year-olds only have, like, one jab right now. And considering we've got, like, the Delta business running through, which is you basically need two jabs. It's interesting.
The CDC here has been saying, hey, even if you are vaccinated, considered continuing to wear a mask because this whole Delta thing. So,
and we are having like a weekly weekend like protests in London of like, hey, no more masks, no more lockdowns, blah 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 blah, which is stupid because like if anyone actually read like if anyone in those lockdown marches read what's left to be like opened up, it's a case of like, hey, cinemas can now go to full capacity, restaurants can go to full capacity, like they already have like half percentage capacity and stuff, like all these places are open, weddings can go full capacity, and they already extended that as a special case, like the stuff that's there, like I don't want cinemas at full capacity. I don't care about Like I'm fine with it right now, exactly as is.
No, yeah, it's just, Texas. There's just some stupidity. Very dumb. It's everything is basically open. The governor said like you're not even allowed to like check for vaccination stuff, or mandate masks like in schools. We're going to be screwed like around winter time probably, but at least I was able to get both shots pretty easily because a lot That's of the fair. People in the rural like red areas don't want to get shots, so we had quite a good supply. And luckily in my county, like I'm in a blue area, and even the suburb county like next to the big city that I'm in, we have like close to 70% both fully vaccinated, so that's okay. And the arcade I went to last night, I went to an arcade that opened up in the during the pandemic, Bishop's Cidercade. It was fucking packed. It was full. Lots of people there. There was hand sanitizer everywhere, which was nice. And I took advantage of that. Washed my hands a whole lot. But I did eat pizza and drink cider there too. So hopefully
great.
I'm okay. I don't know. But yeah. But it was nice to get out. I haven't gone to an arcade in like more than a year now. And now that I'm vaccinated and everything, hopefully that's okay. But I got to play a lot of Mr. Driller too. They had an arcade unit
nice.
Of that.
Nice.
Yeah, and a bunch of new pinball tables. They had the new Ninja Turtles, new Jurassic Park, Stranger Things, which I didn't play. Because people were actually playing everything at this arcade. It was amazing. The way it works, it's $10 to get in for the whole day. All of the machines are on free play. Or you can pay $15 to get like a monthly pass. And you can go whenever you want the rest of the month. Which we would have done if it wasn't so far away. and we have a baby. Like,
man, that's cheap.
We get occasional. This is like the first date night we've ever done. So, yeah. But yeah, since everything was on free play, people were actually playing all of the machines. So that was pretty awesome. Instead of just standing in front and blocking them, like at fucking pinballs.
God,
hipsters.
I wish.
Not even
A, I wish
anything.
There was arcades here, and B, I wish it was as cheap as $15 a month.
Yeah, no, it was nice. Like, they obviously make money selling pizza and
sure,
ciders.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's like, run by a cider brewery or whatever.
Like, that sounds like the dream
awesome.
During summer.
Yeah, it's like right across the river. It's technically called a lake, like it's Lady Bird Johnson Lake or Town Lake now is what it's, I don't know, whatever, but it's like an old Joe's Crab Shack that shut
nice.
down, and they
nice.
Turned into, yeah, so there's like a nice patio like right on the water. They have like hipster swing sets and shit on that patio.
Great.
It was really nice though. Yeah, it was fun. So going to go there again when I can, probably closer, more around winter time when it's not so hot, and hopefully when stuff is more under control and less pandemic-y. And the
yeah, seriously.
Older. Yeah.
But yeah, like that's the other main video game thing I really did lately, other than play Genshin Impact, which yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, pandemic aside, I mean, we've been playing a lot of games just because, like, the pandemic is just like, hey, everybody stay home. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't also affected really, all my other hobbies, too. I was kind of pissed there for, like, a month when I couldn't buy filament.
How come?
Because, like, everybody's out
of
stock.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I couldn't buy any Amazon stuff at all. Like,
I was buying, like, cheap-ass brands I've never heard of and stuff.
Yeah, I don't trust that shit anymore. I did that like 4 times, all garbage.
Dude, I couldn't find Hatchbox anywhere. Hatchbox is my go-to PLA.
I shit you not, Amazon.co.uk. It's from
Amazon's,
like a Netherlands
Amazon,
thing, but yeah.
Yeah. That stuff's pretty good too. I've been using a lot of eSun PLA Plus as of late. You can check my Twitter out for that if you want some details on what I've been printing with that.
I think you can discuss it. Yeah, I think it's like
it's legal. It's legal in my state. Yeah,
yeah.
I've been printing gun parts, basically. Not full guns, because that's really not possible right now. The technology is not there. But so for example, on a Glock, the bottom part that you hold on to is made of plastic, right? And that's the part that has a serial number on it. So that's the part the ATF considers the gun. But I'm just printing that part and then just putting, I buy They're like folded sheet metal rails that drop into the frames that people design. There's companies that sell them. So just drop those in there and then put all the parts from a Glock into it and take that shit to the range. And it's legal in Oregon. It's legal in most states. A couple, you can't do that. But I they're for me only. I can never give them away and I can never sell them unless I have a license, a federal firearms license. And shit, man, I'm not an extremist or whatever. It's like, I'm just a nerd who has firearms as a hobby and has 3D printing as a hobby, and they just kind of crash together. So
you, the first time you took one out, it was jamming on you and you fixed it. You told me once, but, it'd be interesting to know again, what the issue and fix was.
That's not fixed completely, but I think I figured it out. So there was a flaw in the design that the guy had posted. Because there's a couple of different groups that do beta tests and stuff. And one of the things that I recently printed was part of one of those. And he had posted a revamped version of one of his Glock frames. And the hole for the pin that holds in the whole trigger assembly that's all the way in the back, the hole in the model was higher than the hole that is in the rails. So it was pushing, like, when the rail or when the pin was not in there, I could push that whole assembly down and look through it, and the holes were not lined up. So if I raised it back up, it would line up. And I think that was causing, like, the striker. Because the problem was it would fire one shot, and then it wouldn't fire the second one. And then I'd rack it, and it'd fire one shot, and then it wouldn't fire the second one. So, I went back, and it was kind of funny, because, like, the day after I figured that out, the same guy posted an even newer version. And I double-checked it, did some measurements, bust out the calipers, and he'd fixed that issue. Like, that hole was moved back.
That guy
was moved down. So I printed that one, built it, took it out to the range, and this time, I was not aware that the OEM pin for that, from Glock, is not metal. It's plastic. And it was not long enough. It wasn't getting a good grip on, it wasn't, the surface area was barely like into the pinholes, so it didn't have really a ton to hold on to. I got two shots out of that, and then it went back to the same thing it was doing. And then I looked at it, and I was like, wait a second, this plastic pin is like sheared, so it's barely holding into the frame. So, replaced the pin, haven't gone back out to the range yet, because I have not. Ammo is fucking impossible to find right now for decent prices.
Pandemic.
Yeah. We're talking like the cheapest stuff you can find is like 50 cents a round.
Jeez. That sounds not cheap.
Ridiculous. Like I bought some ammo at a gun show a couple weeks ago that I have no idea how old it was. It was just some random dude had a table full of miscellaneous boxes of ammo. I was like, I need
very fun.
They were pretty decent price, and they all cycled. I fired all of them. They worked fine. Wanted like 35 for a box of 50 40 caliber Smith & Wesson. I was like, I'll take both of these. It's like, it's the cheapest I've been able to find it fucking anywhere. I was like, I don't know how old it is. I don't care. I'm sure it's fine. As long as you weren't storing it in like Florida or something, you know, it's probably fine. But yeah, ammo is fucking tough to find. Gun parts. I picked a really bad time to get into this hobby.
So,
everything's so fucking expensive right now.
Because I'm sure Mary and I, maybe Mary's been to one, but I definitely haven't. And I'd assume a few others haven't. What's a gun show like?
I haven't been to a show.
What's happening?
I've been to a range. But.
So,
yeah, what's a gun show? At is a it gun, like a fair? Like a small, like, town
it's
hall?
It's kind of, think of it as a farmer's market. Like, yeah, it's like a flea market, but you'll get official vendors from stores around the around the area. Like, I think the gun store back in my hometown, like, they usually send somebody out this year or this not this year. They do one every like 6 months or so. This time, I would say like 3/4 of the tables were filled. Like, it was a ghost town, and most people were selling ammo.
Right. The hot commodity.
Yeah, and I, like, walked by the one guy, and he's like, yeah, my stuff's confirmed brand new from the factory, and he was charging, like, $55 a round. And I was like, But, yeah, there's some characters there. Like, you just kind of overhear what the kind of shit people are saying, and you just don't go to their booth.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, it's kind of weird being a left-leaning firearms nerd. Because you still gotta deal with shitheads, something like that. Sometimes you just gotta kind of roll your eyes and just whatever. Let it go.
It's like being an anime liker. Yeah. You gotta just easily ignore stuff. Yeah.
But, yeah, I've got a bunch of, I got email notifications that are like, hey, this from Gunbroker. It's like, hey, your auction is ending in like an hour, the one you're watching. Because, a good source of parts kits for like printing, because you buy the whole slide assembly, the trigger, and all that stuff, and that's unregulated. Those are all unregulated parts. With the exception of a few models, I think Sig Sauer makes a pistol where the trigger assembly is the registered part, and there's a couple other companies that do that too. I don't know how, but I don't know. But there are organizations that get guns from like police departments that were confiscated as like evidence, and then they destroy the regulated part, and then they just sell the parts kits on Gunbroker.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. So there's tons of sites like that, and I've been watching. Everything's going a little more than I'd like to pay, so I'm just kind of just window shopping. Although I did find a pretty slick deal on a parts kit I was looking for the other day. And I impulse bought it. It's like $160 bucks. That's how much these are averaging to going for on Gunbroker. I still need to buy a set of pins because it doesn't have them. But that was like $20 bucks. So whatever. But and then you get to print like dumb shit because like half the fun of printing firearms is that you can design your own dumb stuff.
Yes,
and just like exactly. This goofy looking shit, and it's just the community is pretty much all just gun nerds, just firearms nerds who happen to have 3D printing like me. So you get a lot of more moderates and left leaning people,
yeah,
I guess, in the sense. Communities. Yeah. I still mute a bunch of them on Twitter because I don't give a shit about what they're tweeting about most of the time. But there was one that I got to be part of a beta for. It was a public beta, but that was at least my way in. Because this is one of the more notable people in the community who designs a ton of shit. And he was like, "Hey, these pistol kits are like $150 for everything you need." And this we got a frame in beta. It's like if you want to buy one of these, and you can just come to our chat and just ask for the files. You don't have to be invited or anything. So, got a super cheap parts kit. That was pretty awesome. Came with a hard case. Because I think they were police turn. I think they were police turn-ins. Like the police department was upgrading or something. Mainly because the kit that I got is the longer barrel version. So the frame is longer. And that variant of the pistol was developed by the company in, I think they worked with the Baltimore Police Department or something. So like these things have like nice sights, like tritium sights and stuff on them. Like I got a screaming deal on that thing.
Nice.
But yeah, that's my talking about shit that people think is illegal, but it's not actually. And it sounds kind of weird to talk about it because I know I sound like, yeah, I'm printing guns, haha, you know. normally when someone says that, you're just like, oh, that guy's fucking crazy. I'm not. I'm just a nerd. I like going to the range and shooting metal plates. That's it.
It's not like you're playing with homemade explosives or something.
No, no. I don't even reload my own ammo because it just seems tedious. Yeah. I don't have any black powder or anything. I just don't care. Yeah. I don't care that much. That stuff's even more expensive. Like primers cost more than fucking bullets right now.
Also, Albie, you should buy a backyard inflatable pool. You will use it like 2 or 3 times by yourself, and it's fine. Don't spend a lot of money. Just buy like a cheap little backyard one.
Yep.
But yeah, and I started learning Fusion 360 because I helped out and I made a remake or a remix of that pistol frame that I was in a beta for. Because I didn't like the grip shape. And I was like, I'm going to do it. We're going to dive into Fusion 360 finally. And I knew that having a project that I really wanted to actually do, because nobody else was even considering doing what I wanted to do. It's like, I knew that would push me through, like, brute forcing my way through stuff that I didn't know. And now I know, considerably more than I did beforehand. And I'm a lot more confident with the idea of, hey, I'm going to go make this in Fusion 360 instead of Tinkercad. So yeah, learning stuff during pandemic, even though I'm pretty introverted and don't leave my house a whole lot, even before the pandemic, but whatever. I am looking forward to going back to the office though. So I get way more work done at the office. I know I'm an outlier in that respect, but
I do too, mostly because baby distractions.
Yeah.
No, that's probably the same for Gary, but he also works more because he's always building like special project programs and stuff. And now that he has his work computer at home, like, I'm always like, you're not getting paid for that. Don't work right now. Like, don't. And their headquarters are in New York, so they keep pushing back, like, when people are going to go back to the office.
Because, yes.
Yeah, so they don't have the Texas need to be, like, in the office all the time, like most other companies here. Yeah, like, I don't think it's happening this year, from what he's been saying, so that's fine
it's
with me.
It's kind of surprising. More baby time. I guess he's got his work computer there, so I guess it's fine.
Yeah. Yep.
So other than E3 and like game demos and shit, what have you guys been playing? Just like stuff that's already out.
Yeah, I've been doing more of that pinball table back there.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's basically like there's that. I've been playing Princess Connect, Idolmaster, those phone games, because they're easy to play for like a short amount of time. And I also got into Genshin Impact on the PC because it has the same deal going, because it is basically like a free-to-play game, but it plays more like a for-real game. Like, it's actually fun, and I'm actually getting into it. They had a summer event going on, and I was actually able to unlock everything. I got like all these fancy characters, and I got a swimsuit outfit for free, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I'm still nice. Going on it. So, yeah, I'm playing Genshin Impact instead of real video games. I guess I could be playing busted ass, like, Gauntlet, or not Gauntlet, Dungeons & Dragons, Dark Alliance. Or
oh, man, that I was so sad.
Yeah, that sucks. Because the Dark
so
Alliance
sad,
games like, were fun.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and now when they bring out the shitty one that's not like the other games, and also it's bad. Like, oh well.
Yeah, when I first saw gameplay of it, and I was like, oh man. I was like, they just threw out everything that made the Dark Alliance games good.
Yep.
They just got rid of it. It's like, fuck.
I don't even know why they called it Dark Alliance.
I don't either. It's the fucking Avengers game with a D&D skin on it.
Yeah. And it also sucks, apparently.
Also sucks. Apparently. It's on Game Pass. I think I downloaded it, actually. I should probably play it.
Is it?
Just give it a shot.
Maybe I'll try it, but yeah.
I was thinking of it.
You bought Idol Simulator. I think yeah, you talked Idol about Manager. Last. Are you still playing? Are you still playing Idol Manager?
I'm kind of waiting for like the full release now because I've played like about 6 to 10 hours, I would say, and it's hard. Like I suck at it.
I didn't expect that. Honestly,
yeah, no, it's difficult. Like. It's hard managing your money in that game and trying to, it's hard to gauge like how many copies of a single you should actually try and put out and sell. Because it takes a long time to get a single ready, like, and finished. And so by the time you're done, like, you usually have more fans going than what you thought of. So either you really fuck it up on your marketing and song type and you sell like nothing, or you sell it all totally out, but you missed money by not like making enough. And it took so long to actually get the single out in the first place. Like it's almost like an idler kind of game because you have to like set all these timers in motion basically. Yeah. So I'm kind of just, it comes out at the end of July, and I get a Steam key since I bought the beta, so I'm
nice.
Just kind of waiting for it, so yeah. I'll wait for the full version with voice acting and everything, I guess.
Nice. Right, that's not in yet. Okay, fair enough. That makes sense.
But yeah, it seems cool. It seems very good. I saw they had a demo for Idol Manager during the Steam thing this demo weekend. And it was, like, the number 11 most downloaded demo. So I was very surprised. Like, people apparently want to play this game. So hopefully
it looks like it's got potential.
Yeah. It seems like it could be cool. But I didn't... Maybe it's because I was early in the game and I was doing the story mode. But I didn't get a lot of the interesting-sounding, like, random events popping up at all either. So, yeah, I think I just... I don't know. I hope it's a little bit easier. I hope they tweak the difficulty. But yeah, I don't know.
Does it touch on the kind of shitty side?
Of yes. Okay. Very much so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right.
Very much. Yeah.
That gives me a little more. That gives me a little bit more of a dismissive take on that game then.
No. Yeah.
If they're pretty realistic about it, that's okay. All right. Sure. I don't play manager games, but okay, that's fine. Go ahead.
Like, the story starts out, and apparently the guy who's funding the whole operation, he had just fired everybody because everybody in the building was also doing, like, massage parlor, like, prostitution stuff on the side, and the cops were getting in on it, too. They were getting a cut. And so the cops let him know, like, hey, the government, the city government is going to be cracking down on this shit because of the Olympics starting. So, yeah, so he, like, fired everybody and he's like, okay, we're going to start over. I'm not going to require you to make this the most clean business ever. Like, he lets you basically run it because he trusts you, like, this guy funding it. But you can tell he's kind of scuzzy. And you can, like... You can be very ruthless with, like, the girls running it. There are different, like, you can, like, determine what kind of outfits they wear. Like, you can have them wear short skirts, which, like, ups hardcore fans, but the girls don't like it, and they have, like, status, like, they get more depressed easily and everything, too. So it's a weird, interesting managing of stuff. It goes into a lot of detail, so I thought that was cool.
Okay, that's pretty cool. All right.
Yeah. And you don't have to run it like a scumbag, apparently, either.
Oh, really? Is it harder to run it, like above ground?
Mary's having issues.
Or, like, all by the books?
It's harder to run it at either extremes, really. Like,
so you gotta dabble. You gotta dabble a little bit.
Yeah. If you're trying to be super goody-goody, like, it's harder to make money and improve everything faster. Like, but if you're down in the dirt, like, you can have a scandal happen and it'll take away, like, all of your fans, or you'll have to retire an idol when they're, like,
yeah,
still able to produce stuff.
They graduate.
So yeah, yeah, you're, like, crushing out on the money fuck? Because you gotta get rid of them, even though they could still be earning stats. Yeah, like, the idols themselves, they have a stat potential, and once they reach the cap, you're basically, like, wasting money on them, and you have to make them graduate, like, if you want better stuff going on. So, it, mm-hmm. yeah, it seems like it's had a lot of work on, like, the mechanics themselves. It's just the actual gameplay, it's a lot of timers, so it's not, like, the most thrilling thing in the world. It's still very much like a sim game. It's like Factorio, but for weird stuff, for crushing girls' spirits or something. I don't know. Not necessarily. You can be nice, like I said. Like, you can talk to the girls, you get to be friends, you can have, like, an idol with very high stats mentor another one. Like, hey, help out this girl on her dancing. Or you could also start shit and be like, hey, this girl said this and this about you, and they can start fighting. And so I don't know why you would want to do that, but yeah, it's very weird. It's an interesting game. I don't know. It's very interesting, I guess I'll just say. I want to see the full thing out.
Cool. DJ, what'd you play? Have you been playing anything? I know both of you guys are both dealing with newborns.
I play a bunch of Rocket League, as you know. It's my go-to kid game. It's a nice, quick, like, 7-ish minute game at a time. I keep getting this thing where Rumble, I play a bunch, but, like, I dropped almost to platinum in Rumble, and that was bad. I got about to D1, Division 1, what's the thing? D1 thing 2?
No, it's, I think
this is... Oh, it's Diamond 1, Division 1. Okay, yeah.
1, which is the lowest one. Yeah. You're, like, on the verge of dropping to Plat 3, yeah.
I got to Diamond 1, Division 2, and then, like, I've worked my back up to Diamond 1, Division 4, so I should be safe. I'm almost at D2, Division 2 again.
Jealous.
Which is close, but yeah. Rumble, you should get at Rumble. Trust me, you should not sniff your head at it, because once you learn the power-up mechanics and, like, what people generally do with them, if you have some skill, which I saw you do yesterday, you're a diamond player in Rumble. Once you learn those power-ups, yeah.
Like, I can hang with plats, at least, in threes, but I'm just, like, gold 3, division 3 and 4, and I'm just, like, I keep jumping between plat and gold, so.
Right, so you haven't plat, like, at one point, yeah.
Yeah, I've hit plat before, but it's for, like, 2 games, tops, and then I'm back into gold, yeah, so, but I think I'm plat 1 in Rumble, so, I play it every now and then. I had to suffer through 3 games of hoops for a weekly challenge earlier.
Right.
Sure. It was a couple days ago. I don't think I finished a single one. We just forfeited all of them. Because hoops is hard, dude. Done. Hoops is super hard because it's completely different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, usually my go-to for Rocket League, if I have, like, a decent amount of time, is, like, 2 or 3 games of ranked 3s and then Rumble, because then I've at least got into the groove of playing, driving the car and doing, like, some moves and defensively and whatnot. And then Rumble's a whole other ball game of just reaction time is pretty much what you need. Or, like, understanding that someone spiked the ball, so they're going to be playing a fucking zigzag game of... How do I fake out the other person and how to read the fakes and whatnot?
Did you see that video I posted in our Discord? That Sunless Con video? Yeah. I had no idea what high level Rumble looked like. It's insane. And I love it. Like, the opening clip is this dude doing a ceiling shot, and he's got spikes on, so the ball is stuck to him. He jumps off the fucking ceiling, throws the ball off of his spikes against the wall, and double taps into the goal. I was like, that is the fucking mind-blowing shit. That was cool. I had no idea. That video was great. Made me want to go play Rumble some more.
Yeah, diamonds are not that bad, but there's a lot of like fly techniques that you have to learn with spikes, or like to defend with spikes. Same with the magnet system. People love flying with the magnet, not really just driving on the ground. You start flying and doing some loopy bullshit,
and it pulls like super close to you, doesn't it?
The ball will fucking like snake around, and it's real hard to read and stuff like that. Using the punching bag more as a defensive weapon. That's way more a defensive weapon. Same with the hook shot, let's say, which makes you like go straight to the ball. They're more defensive weapons than offensive weapons in Diamond. Like, yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, it's mostly reaction time once you figure out what each power-up is.
Did you play any of the limited time thing where it was like tactical Rumble? Where it was like, hey,
I did like once or twice.
Yeah, it was like, hey, you get these three things, a choice of these three power-ups, and then they're on different cooldowns.
Yeah, it's a good idea. I think it's a decent idea.
Yeah. But, I mean, what I've been playing usually is I just hop on and I play casual threes for like an hour. I'm still in the phase where it's like I'm still, like, my aerials are still garbage. Like, I hit the ball like maybe like half the time.
Yeah, I hit the once and that's it. There were some funny moments last night, though, of like me just looking at the goal and then seeing like Jake just fucking yeeting across the sky like, from the half.
How else are you gonna learn, man? You gotta go for him, right?
Yeah.
Spent a lot of time doing training packs to even get to the level where I can even like get close to the ball.
Yeah, no, I'm a way defender. I'm a defensive guy in Rocket League, so I do some aerials, but it's way more about defensive aerials, and like the best way, me trying to figure out the best way to like get that ball to the other side of the field. But yeah, Rocket League I play a bunch of. I bought those Fast and Furious skins and
nice back in the Skyline
Tokyo Drift. Yep.
Is it the same one that was available the last time it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what they did is they upgraded the model and texture slightly, and they added a skin for it. So like it looks nicer essentially, and that's how they justified charging like a bunch more money than what they originally did.
Yeah. I might get the DeLorean one when that's up for sale. I don't really.
Yeah.
The Jeep is too boxy for me. Even though I think the Jeep uses the Octane hitbox anyways, which is really weird.
Weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah, I might get like another one of those skin packs. I'm more interested to see what player anthems they bring in, because whenever I score a goal, it's very fun hearing those Asian ladies go, Fast and Furious!
I have player anthems turned off.
Oh, that's
because I played like right when they first launched them. Sure. So everybody had the same fucking one.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone had like Llama Ball or some shit.
I just turned that shit off. I'll wait for the player anthems to be a bit more varied, or for them to add one that I actually like.
Yeah, a lot of people are using that Montero, by Lil Nas X.
The one I'm waiting for is the Fox Stevenson remix of Outbreak, I think. Cause it got some good drum and bass in that. I think that'd be a good player anthem. Been listening to a lot of Fox Stevenson lately. If you're a fan of drum and bass, Fox Stevenson's pretty fucking dope.
Yeah.
Blends a lot of different genres in, which is pretty cool.
And then, I'm like level 128 in that Rocket League now. Sorry, the Rocket Pass.
The Rocket Pass, yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm probably going to have to buy the next one again.
But. Yeah, I've just got enough that I can do that again, so I may as well, unless it's real garbage.
That's pretty cool. Like, I was talking with somebody on our Discord server the other day about, like, monetization. And like all things considered, Psyonix has probably done it the best that I've seen any other any other company do it. It's like, hey, if you play enough of Rocket League during and you buy the Rocket Pass, you'll earn enough credits to buy the next season of Rocket Pass.
Yeah.
Oh.
And
like
yeah.
So like other companies do that, like Apex Legends. That's how they started it off, and like so me and Popcans like. Did that with the first season, and it was a real fucking grind just to get like enough credits to get the next season pass, whereas Rocket League, it doesn't feel like that.
Yeah, it's like I was playing a lot at the time for like season one, but and I got all of the season unlocks for like the levels, and I think I ended up just using my credits that I earned from that. Just I went like there's a Saturday night when I got on to Rocket League trading because I was like, I want some cheap ass cosmetics that actually look cool, but they're not like the super rare ones. So it's like, hey, I want these clear yellow wheels. This guy's got them, and he wants 40 credits for them. That's 40 cents, basically. And I just shoot him a message saying, hey, I'll take those off your hands. And then they friend you on Epic, and they join your party. You trade, and they bail. And then you unfriend each other.
The secret CD league of Rocket League skins.
Dude, people were mad. People were so mad when they put the titanium white Fennec up on the item shop for 800 credits. I jumped on that like the instant I saw it. $8 for an item that's going for like 170 on the trading market.
Oh, yeah. No, that's fun if the developers are actually watching.
And then a couple weeks back, they had the titanium white Zombas, which are like also super rare. And those were only like $10. So, I got a purple Octane out of a blue crate the other day. I was like, wow.
This season I'm saving all my, loot crates. Don't quite know why I just started saving them. So I've got like, every single one. I think I've got about 20 to 30 crates now. And I'm just going to open up once I get those, the season ending ones.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what to call those, because I remember, like, before they went free-to-play, they had crates, like, crates with, like, keys stuff. But now they're just, like, random drop, like, capsules that don't cost anything to... Yeah, they're basically loot boxes, but you don't have to pay to open them.
Yeah.
So.
Man, paying to open. Remember that fucking carny bullshit of, like, you have to buy this crate, but then you also got to buy the key.
I mean, CSGO is still like that.
Like, really? Jesus. League did that, and then they stopped.
CSGO's free to play now, though. So, but they did. Yeah, they also League, they did League's it. They still did it. They still did it back when it cost money too. So,
right.
I made a quote unquote Smurf account for Rocket League, so I can go learn twos basically. Because in casual, your MMR is shared across threes, twos, and ones. So if you only play threes and you want to learn how to play twos, good fucking luck. Because you're playing against people who've been playing twos as long as you've been playing threes. And it's like a completely different game. Playing twos is completely different because you don't have that third person to back you up. So if you and your teammate double commit and you both aerial for something and you fucking miss it, then they just basically get a free goal because you're on the other side of the the field. So, I was very surprised that the name Mary Iguana was not taken on Epic.
Oh, God.
Very surprised. One word, capital M, capital I. I was like, taking this. So, we'll see how my adventure in twos goes. I still have to, take screenshots of all my settings from my main account so I can set them all the same on the, your settings are stored server side, which is actually kind of cool.
Yes. Yeah. It's helpful. Like jumping between, PC and the Series X, like everything's just there. I don't need to do anything.
It's funny though, during like when you're watching replays, if you put on player cam, you get to see like that person's camera settings and some of them are awful.
Oh,
some of them are just terrible. Like, they're like the defaults. I'm just like, ugh, this is bad. Field view's all super low. The car's like super close to the screen.
To be fair, I haven't adjusted much on mine. I pulled it back, but yeah.
I cranked my FOV all the way up. I moved it up a little bit and like back a little bit.
Yeah. I've done that a little bit, but like not that much, but yeah.
Because when I first got into it, I was just watching tons of Rocket League videos and like, hey, tips on how to get better and stuff. And a lot of that actually helped, which was cool. So the main takeaway from it was like, play ones and do free play and training packs. So I don't play ones, but if I'm feeling bored, I'll just go hop on Rocket League.
Skilled enough.
Go hop on Rocket League and just go into free play and just try to hit the ball. Just hashtag hit the ball has been my objective. Yeah. Cause you just drive around as fast as you can and just try to hit the ball and just keep following it and hitting it and stuff. Cause it'll go wherever and you just got to compensate for it. Helps with aerials and stuff.
It's a good way to learn wall stuff as well.
Yeah. And training packs are also pretty good, especially with Bakke's mod, because with Bakke's mod, you can just navigate through the different steps of the pack with the D-pad. And a lot of cool shit with Bakke's mod, actually. Like, hey, I want to practice dribbling. And you're in free play, you hit up on the D-pad and it spawns the ball in front of you, like rolling really slowly. So you just hit it a little bit and pop it up and then go into car cam and just try to keep it on top of your car.
Mm-hmm. And then the other game I play most of the time off is, I tried playing a bit of Maneater, but like I haven't had much time to go focus on that. It's fun. It's on Game Pass. I want to play more of it before I like make a super judgment on it. It's fun. It's pretty fun storyline wise and the theme it's going for. But I have like an annoyance with how it's like you're a shark and you're like eating stuff to grow because it's like shark RPG essentially. So like as you eat more items, you'll grow from a baby shark to a like adult essentially. And like one of the issues I majorly have is like the locking on camera system. And I get it, it's like you lock onto a turtle or something and like you take a bite out of it, but then like you swipe past it and then like the camera doesn't auto turn around for you to see behind you.
Oh
like,
shit.
It just stays forward.
So it needs ball to, like, cam is what you're saying.
Ball cam. Like you have to turn the camera around, find that fucking turtle you took a bite out of, and then re lock onto the character. It's awkward.
It needs Z targeting mode. There we go. That's a little bit better. Z targeting.
Yeah, and then like it's the same thing for like hunters and like boats and stuff. It's like you can see the boats and whatnot, but like jumping up at the right time and then like. At eating them and stuff, it's like it's pretty awkward to like try and wing it like immediately. Maybe I need to like get more leveling and stuff. I don't know, but yeah, it's fun. It's got interesting story, like fun storyline stuff, and it looks real nice with HDR and stuff. I want to play more to see what else there is to unlock on it. And then, the other thing that I play most of my time on is MLB The Show 21.
Nice.
Real deep in Diamond Dynasty and stuff. They've got, like, this Daily Moments thing where, like, one day it's like, hey, do 3 innings and have no hits, or win a game in a 3-inning shortened game, or hey, for Father's Day, Ken Griffey Jr. hit his 500th home run in while his dad was in the stands. Recreate that, like stuff like that. It's like there's some fun stuff. Yeah.
So that's like the baseball game, right? There aren't any other.
Yeah.
There aren't any others, and it's actually pretty good. There's so many different like pitching styles to learn, like methods. Like there's the simple down up, there's the simple like zone, like I'm gonna aim for like this top left section and then I'm just hitting A for a fastball. There's like the pure analog, there's like apparently a trick system, like the skate system, like you rotate around and then
I was gonna make a joke about the flick it system. Yeah, no, that's cool though.
It's totally in there. There's like a pulse system where you have to hit it at the exact pulse. Like, there's so many different pitching methods people want to use. There's different batting styles that people can try and use. It's, there's so many different methods. Like, I'm trying to get at, like, NBA 2K21 is like super niche and like real hard to learn. Whereas this gives you the options of like, hey, I just want it to be easy. And it's still kind nice. Of simmy. But it makes it a lot easier.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Makes it more enjoyable.
Yeah. So, like, I'm like, and they're smart with, like, every week they add a bunch of more cards of, like, hey, here's, like, a bunch of rookie cards, and here's a bunch of, like, all-star cards, and hey, here's, like, five players from, like, the 1920s. They're rookie cards and shit. Yeah. What I'm finding more and more often is, like, people from, like, the 1890s to 1940s, they weren't power hitters, but they were just fast as fuck and, like, could hit bat to ball and then just fucking dart to base is what they did.
That's funny. That's, they're running, like, the footage is sped up. Yeah. Like Buster, yeah. Like Buster Keaton style. Yes.
Silent movie. Yeah, so like, yeah, it's some fun stuff, and then like in real life, Shohei Ohtani is just a fucking mega monster. He's a dual like pitcher and hitter, which is super rare these days. Pretty good pitcher, and then like he's just on a home run hitting streak to the point where he's like been invited to the home run derby, which is kind of cool. And I've got one of his cards, and like he's like just doing monstrous like home runs for me as well.
Nice.
It's just awkwardly translating. It's pretty nice, yeah. Like to the point like where a couple days ago, no, I think it was yesterday, I like hit a inside the park home run, which is like super rare. Basically, it hits the back wall. More often than not, people fuck up the infield, the outfielders fuck up. Throwing it or something, but in this case Shohei is just fast and like he just managed to get around the bases. And then so in the game you can also like you get packs, you can buy packs, you can sell players from the packs and all that stuff. They have special packs, they have diamond players, and what's fun about the live series is like the live cards, their like stat ranks go up and down based on how they perform in real life. So Shohei Ohtani's scorecard is getting higher, whereas like Vladimir Guerrero Jr., like he was an early card I got at gold, and I think he was like 82, 81, and like he's been on a monster hitting streak this year as well, and he's now ranked like 88. So it's cool that way.
That kind of reminds me of in Escape from Tarkov. You can make Bitcoin farming like rigs in your hideout. God. And for a while before shit got out of control, it was linked to the real world Bitcoin prices.
Wow.
And then Bitcoin kind of blew up, and it was to the point where it was starting to break the in-game economy. So they they were like, let's stop.
That's amazing. Yeah. So like the live cards are way rarer than like these like all-star cards and whatnot, because like they have the I don't know if they have the option like the people like them more, or like the pending option of like someone just getting like 8 stats points higher than what they originally are. I don't know, but like the two highest ranked people at the start of the season was Mike Trout, because he's a monster hitter, and Jacob deGrom, because he's a monster pitcher. And Mike Trout is selling for like 521,000 stubs, and like in reference, like a pack is, you can get a 10 pack of like their standard for about 30,000. And I think at like 1 in 20 chance you get a diamond player, something like that. Most other cards average around 5,000 to 25,000. And my trust like fucking 520. Oh, wow.
What do you have to do? What do you have to do to get those?
So those live guys, they're mostly just like in those packs. You just like 1 in 20 chance to get those packs, and like you might get.
No, I meant I meant the currency, the stubs or whatever.
Yeah, stubs.
Oh, you can buy them. You can buy it. Whales. You can buy the stubs. You can like earn them. So like everything you do in the game, like if you strike someone out, if you pitch a no-hitter, if you get a home run, or if you get some bases, like it'll give you XP towards like the monthly goal, the monthly, like they call them innings, so it's the third inning, like season pass equivalent, but it's free naturally, and then they give you like unlocks like animations for home runs, or like lanyards for your profile icon, or commentators will say unique things when you hit a home run, or like there's even play on music, like random like slide whistles and shit that can occur. So like there's lots of different things, bat skins and all that stuff. I think I've got like vuvuzelas on whenever my custom character
nice
or pitches. Yep. Appropriate. Everything is set to vuvuzela for when my custom character does anything. Yeah, there's a lot of like extra stuff you can get in there, and like it'll give you some XP as well as a little bit of stubs, and then you can do like lots of like conquest things, which is like a weird map thing which you take over a thing and you get a bunch of packs as well as stubs. You can get daily moments give you stubs. There's moments like every week they pull like the top like 7 things that people did special. Like this guy did 2 home runs and pulled in 5 runs batted in. Get 8 total bases with that character. Stuff like that. They custom create moments every week during the season, and then you can get those packs. Those give you stubs as well as give you like a special pack for those special cards. There's a whole bunch of shit that in this game, like, you can do for the Diamond Dynasty. You can do that, or you can totally get, like, I think 10,000 stubs is, like, $10.
Oh, okay. So at least it's a... At least
you
can
whale your way.
Yeah, I mean, Rocket League does the same thing, where it's, like, one credit in Rocket League is 1 penny, basically. Yeah. So it's a straight conversion into credits, which is kind of nice, actually, considering when this whole monetization thing started, people were doing bullshit like, you gotta buy packs of credits, and oops, you have a bunch left over because like all the things are in a different like multiplier
format
than what you can buy.
Yeah, so you always have some left over.
When I saw Rocket League was like, hey, a penny is a credit. I was like, oh, nice, okay, cool. And that actually, I like that a lot, actually, because it gives you kind of an idea of how much, quote unquote, money it would be.
Yeah.
So you think about that before you actually, before you actually buy something off the item store. Because it's not just a random fucking number that doesn't reflect actual money, like, without some conversion.
And, like, for reference, it's, like, this is the third inning, so technically it's 3 months now, I guess, this game's been out. I've probably amassed, like, 150,000 free credits, because I was at 70k at one point, then I bought 2 packs that were, like, 30k each. Earlier today, before I sold this mega card, I was at, like, 25k, and I think I bought, like, another pack that was, like, 30k way earlier on. So, like, a lot of work will get you somewhere. And again, like, you don't need to buy Mike Trout for 520k. Because there's, like, like, he's ranked 96, and there's, like, other guys, like, ranked 99 that'll, like, hit just as good, if not better, for, like, 100,000 credits. Like, I still don't get why he's that high expensive. And, like, yeah, I earlier today, because my wife hadn't seen, like, the dumb animation of when you pull, like, a diamond player. So I was like, hey, come look at this. I finally got one, and you're here. So I, like, showed her it. And, like, the running joke is every fucking diamond player I pull is a pitcher. It's just been that way. I've got about eight diamond players, and they're all fucking pitchers. Like, my pitching rotation is just stacked as fuck. And then, like, immediately, at first I was like, fuck, it's Jacob deGrom, another fucking pitcher. Then wait, holy shit, because he's, like, valued at 260,000 stubs.
Damn.
So, like, yeah, it's crazy. So, I immediately sold him because fucking he's, like, the most valued he's ever at right now. And now I'm a whale in MLB The Show for free. Thank you, Game Pass.
Thank you. Yes. All praise Game Pass.
I should play that instead of Dark Alliance. It sounds more fun.
Series X exclusive.
God damn it.
Sorry, console exclusive.
Yeah, I knew what you meant.
Not exclusive. Sorry, Game Pass. Yeah, Game Pass console fucking exclusive. Jesus, yeah.
Well, I guess I could stream it and see how bad the delay is.
Yeah.
I'm excited because Stalker 2 is going to be on Game Pass day one.
Yes.
I'm going to buy a copy. I'll buy a copy eventually once they roll out like mod support and stuff. So, because that's what mod support kept the original games relevant even for this long. We wouldn't have even gotten a fucking proper sequel without the modding scene, without people making shit like Anomaly. Yeah. Speaking of Stalker, actually, I did go back to Anomaly just for a little bit. Turns out there was a little bit more quote unquote story quest to do.
Huh.
So knocked those out, and as far as I can tell, now it's just a whole bunch of do shit for NPCs. Cause in Anomaly, I think I've talked about this before, kind of like the Radiant quest system in Skyrim, where it'll just randomly generate like a Mad Libs quest for you. It's like, hey, go do this and bring me four of these. Or go, hey, one of my shipments got stolen or something or left somewhere. I need you to go get it and bring it back to me. And it turns out that thing usually weighs like 20 kilos. And it's like, oh, fuck. How am I going to get this back? Or, hey, this guy's been talking shit. Go take him out and I'll pay you a bunch of money for it. And it's just,
why you just save those for last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all right to break up the, like, if you want to take a break from doing story stuff, but you want to, like, go get better gear and stuff, or have a reason to go explore a little bit more.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Because, I mean, shit, man, I'm still finding places in that game that I've never seen before. I mean, they're, like, out of the way. Like, there's nothing in them or anything. They're just kind of, like, side set pieces. But it's like, wait, you can go in here? Because there's one spot in the area called Wild Territory where it's like you walk in and it basically funnels you visually into this one little door. But it's this big open area, and there's a shed across that you just run past because it's just there, and you don't have to go there. I happened to go look at it. The fucking door is open on the side. You just couldn't tell because of the way the door opens in relation to where you come from. You couldn't tell that it was all the way open. There's nothing in there.
Oh.
I think in the original game there was a nice suit in there. Like a tactical suit, not like a like a three piece.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
We're classy in the zone. So we went back to Anomaly for a little bit, and then when I saw the Wholesome Games Direct on quote unquote E3, and I saw, this was my first exposure to Chicory. Like, I saw it, and I was like, that looks kind of cool. Like, normally I don't like the top-down Zelda kind of stuff, but I'm like, this looks pretty fucking cool. And I was right. I went and bought a copy of it. Finished it in like 10 hours, I think. And then I went on to play like another two after that. Cause I wanted to find all of the screens, like all of the areas on the map.
Right.
And then you find lost cats that are in trees. Like when you load into a screen, aww, when you load into a screen, you'll hear a meow and like a tree will shake. Like just, it'll only do it once when the screen loads. Most of the time it's pretty easy to spot though. You're just like, oh, it's right there. Right. You click on it, he falls out and you just pick him up. It's like, you found a lost kid. Cause everybody all the people are animals and they're named after food.
Great.
Which is pretty awesome. And the default name for your character is Pizza. I went with that. So I was like, hey, that's what my friends call me, because that's my username on like everything. It's internet pizza. So I went with that. It was kind of weird at some parts. I was just like, that feels weird. Cause I'm just not used to seeing it like that. But Chicory's, that the game is fucking awesome. Like, I was pleasantly surprised by how much I enjoyed that game. Like the music is awesome. Like the soundtrack's so good. I had songs stuck in my head just for a couple days afterwards. And there's little touches with the music. Like if you're, there are different towns basically in this area. And when you get to the center of one, basically it'll pop up the name of the town. Like, hey, you're in a new town, or you're in a town proper. And if you're on one of the screens that are like adjacent to that zone, you'll hear the music for that zone, but it's missing some instruments. It's just like the bass and the drums, like going,
yeah.
And then once you walk in, then like the lead stuff kicks in, like you'll hear like flutes and like all the main melody stuff of the track. I thought that was really cool. When the first time I was like, wait a second, does it really just drop out like the guitars and stuff? That's awesome. The story's pretty good. It has a lot of commentary on like mental health, which is pretty cool. Like your character is basically dealing with imposter syndrome like the entire game. So, and I related to that a little bit. And I was like, you know what? This is cool. They're tackling some real shit, which is neat. There's like no combat. It's mostly just like puzzle solving, like some platforming puzzles. There's boss fights. The boss fights are the only combat. And it's pretty forgiving. You get hit by default, you get hit twice, and then it just rewinds the boss fight like 10 seconds.
Oh, okay.
Or like 15 seconds, or like the last phase or something. I can see how it would be difficult. Those boss fights would be kind of difficult on a mouse and keyboard, or on a controller rather. Cause the bosses jump around a whole bunch. And if you're competent with like a mouse and just like mousing around and being able to click shit like from your periphery, boss fights are pretty trivial.
Oh, okay.
The last one goes on for a little longer than I would have liked. Like probably like 3 or 4 times the length of a boss fight in the rest of the game. And it got to a point where it was just like I kept getting hit, and the game's like, do you want to bump the damage amounts up? Like how many times you can get hit before it rewinds? It's like, yes. It's like, fine. It's like, I want to see the ending of this game. It's like,
sure.
This was like the last phase. So it's like, I got it. Let me see the rest of this.
I just want to finish it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But, just that game is, I love me some twee indie bullshit. And Chicory, A Colorful Tale has that. Yeah, it's kind of a departure from what I normally play, and I was very surprised at how much I enjoyed it.
It really doesn't seem like over the top with that stuff, though.
Nah.
Like
it's got a style, like it for has sure. A
good balance of like everything.
Yeah, really. And the whole thing is like, I'm not even mentioning the big mechanic of it.
Yeah,
you have a paintbrush that is your mouse, or your, I guess it's probably your right stick on a controller. Is how you control it's just a floating paintbrush. You can change the size of it. And depending on what area you're in, you have a different color palette you can use of 3 colors. Or it's like four colors. I think it's 4 colors. So if you paint in just random shit, because you can click on things and it'll just fill in that thing. Like, hey, I want to make the top of this tree orange. And you just click on it. And I want to make the trunk blue. You click on it. And the other cool thing about the whole drawing mechanic is anything you draw or anything you paint on stuff, or the colors you set to things, that persists. So when you come back, it's that color. Or if you can color the parts on NPCs, like I want to make their hat this color. I want to make this lizard person blue. And then when you see him later, if you see that NPC later in a different area, they still got the same colors, which is pretty awesome. And that shows up on the map too, because it shows all this when it's zoomed out. It's like a patchwork kind of thing. Looks
like Zelda.
Looks kind of like blotter paper, let's put it that way. But it shows all of your like paintbrush, all your paint strokes and stuff in like the different areas, which is pretty cool. Chicory's real good.
I do want to play that eventually.
I strongly recommend it.
A demo of it.
Yes. Yeah. Strongly Last suggest. Chicory's very good. If you can get someone who doesn't play a lot of that shit, like top-down Zelda-ish stuff, to like sit down and actually enjoy it and play it, that's, yeah. That's like a Forza recommendation for me.
I would have fun just doing it like it's a coloring book and just pretty. And
yeah, I spend a lot of time just sitting there just like making stuff different colors.
Sounds relaxing.
It is. Yes, it is quite relaxing. And the game is pretty low key. So it's if you need a break from something, if you're playing like, I don't know, you're playing like Apex or something, you're like, man, I gotta take a break for a couple days or a day or something like a day or two and play something a little more low key. Check out Chicory. It's great. Awesome. I went back to Teardown to check out Teardown again.
Because they're adding stuff.
They are adding stuff. It has workshop support and like mod support. I don't think it has missions for like custom maps. You can make custom maps, but I don't believe they have missions.
Oh, right.
They're just like set pieces you can destroy right now, at least. I'm sure they're probably adding the ability to add.
Yeah, they're working on it.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you need to grab these four things and then maybe these three things. So go ahead and plan your path. I forgot how fucking fun that game is. Because I went back. Apparently, I was actually fairly far from the end of the first chapter of content. And I still had like two zones to go through. So I was able to get past the part I was stuck at and got to the end of it. And then I went back to a bunch of the earlier levels and I was trying to get more of the items.
Right.
Like try to get all the items, like all the required and the optional ones. It's Teardown. It's pretty CPU intensive too. Like that game can.
That's why I haven't played it.
Yeah, like if you start blowing shit up, like a ton of shit up, that game will chug. Like, there's a mission at the mall or something. It's like, hey, you need to destroy 50% of the food truck or the food court, and there are military vehicles parked outside. Like that are like all blocked off, and you just walk over, you just throw the barriers away and just hop into this unlocked military fighting vehicle with rocket launchers on the top of it. So what I did was I parked that, and then I found there was three tanks, and the tanks you can't aim up and down, so you have to do your turning to aim them. So I got them all aimed,
right?
And then I went and I started the Because it's like, hey, you have to plan this out. And they're having a fireworks show later tonight in a few hours. So go plan, go figure out what you're going to do, set up what you want, and then go chill in your truck, chill in your van until this thing starts. And then that's like the trigger. It's like, hey, you got 3 minutes to go fucking destroy this thing.
That sounds like an easy mission, yeah.
There's a minigun out there too, which unfortunately you don't get to keep for the other missions. It's just for this one, which I was sad about. But you're throwing pipe bombs and stuff in there. Man, I was probably at like 5 FPS at some point.
Man.
Teardown's real good. I've kind of gotten to the point though where it's I'm just kind of taking the same approach for things,
right?
It's like I'm just
something that works, so you just
like I've upgraded my planks all the way so I can make super long planks that just hook onto things, so I can make ramps just going where the fuck ever, and there's barely any fall damage, so it's like, hey, my route is gonna be I'm gonna go up this hill and then just take a plank up into this tower because I blew a hole in the side of it with the shotgun. And then I'm going to grab this thing that's right by the wall, because you can see it through the wall. So I'm like, hey, just make a hole right by the wall. You can reach through, grab the thing, and then just jump four stories down and keep running. definitely check out Teardown. For sure.
And do they have like a date for when they're going to be finished at all yet?
Right. I don't know. I'm not sure when chapter 2 is coming.
Okay.
Because like I hit the end of chapter 1 and I got a thing. It's like, hey, thank you for playing the first chapter of our game.
Right.
Or first chapter of my game. I think it's just one guy making this game. So
they probably have like a roadmap out somewhere or something then.
Some Discord, I have to imagine.
Like if I were him, and I don't know if he might have planned it already, but just add mission support to custom maps, and just let people play that while you make the next chapter.
Sure.
Or just possibly be done with it once that's done.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. The story is actually kind of funny because you're basically just this shady demolition company. And people are hiring you to, like, do hit jobs on people's property, like competitors.
Oh.
And then sometimes you'll get back and forth from two different people who are feuding against each other. So they're like, hey, that motherfucker did something to me, which you did in the previous mission. It's like, you need to go back and go throw his safes in the ocean. Or we want you to go to his house and drive all of his cars into the pool.
Yeah,
I think I saw that one being played.
That map has a ramp almost, and then there's a big elevated part of it that's like the house that's like the bedroom, but it's just this massive fucking thing, kind of like Ferris Bueller's Day Off, like where the car is. It's like this just up in the air, but you can hit that thing in a Humvee, hit that ramp, and just ramp right up into the, just clear the gap and go through the, it's awesome. Teardown's great. It's a very, very cool technical thing, the voxel-based thing.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's really awesome. And, let's see, what else? Oh, yeah. Almost forgot this one because I just started playing it like last night. I've been playing Shadow Warrior 2 co-op.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen Gary playing some of that.
It was on sale on Steam for like $8. It's normally 40, so. Been playing that co-op with a friend of the show, Midge.
Ah.
And some of the humor is kind of dumb, but that game runs incredibly well.
Say, that game is silly.
It's silly, but it runs so well. Like I'm blown away. It's just buttery smooth, max FPS on Ultra, and it looks great. Even when you're like in big fights, no slowdown. Like it's crazy. But it's a Borderlands like sort of like you can slot gems into your guns and stuff.
Okay.
And all the enemies have health bars.
I didn't realize that.
And you're getting are there leveled guns? No, but you're getting different. It's kind of like Diablo, yeah, sort of Diablo-ish Borderlands. The guns aren't randomized,
right?
But it's like an open world sort of. Like there's side quests and shit. Yeah, it's got a whole loot system. But the traversal.
I've heard about Shadow Warrior. I've never seen it.
Yeah, traversal is kind of cool. Like just off the bat, you get a double jump and a dash midair, so you can just kind of like warframe it through areas.
Yeah.
But I haven't played enough of that to really talk about the game as a whole. But like what I've played so far, it's cool. It's pretty cool.
Steam sale, the summer sale is still going on right now, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to take a look and actually see if there's, I don't know, stuff I want to play. Because, man, I am bored. And I don't know. I don't want to play just Genshin Impact every day. It's
right.
Getting old. I need something else.
Oh, pardon me. Super tired.
All right, let's pick up the energy here with some news. Is there any news?
I keep hearing the baby yelling in the background. That's no my news.
Yeah,
I haven't really seen
anything. I think everyone's like just
After E3, they're like, yeah.
Exactly.
That's true, yeah. Like,
okay, everybody take a vacation now.
The only other thing is, like, right now that's happening in any of my hobbies news-wise is a bunch of pro teams in Rocket League are shuffling rosters after the major. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. Except for, like, the top two NA teams. SSG is keeping their roster as is, and so is NRG, which makes sense. Spoiler alert, NRG won.
Yep.
Because they're, like, the best team in the world. Due to COVID, they had, like, four regions. They had majors in all four regions. But they didn't have those winners then compete against each other. Because you can't, because there's ping differences, and you can't be on, you can't play on LAN.
Makes sense. So,
but CSGO is getting the LAN event soon. No audience, but it is a LAN event. So,
weird.
Yeah. CS has been missing LAN events for a while. It's like the online era has kind of fucked everything up.
Yeah. The only news on my end is the International has their regional qualifiers happening now.
Right.
Read up on who's actually happening. Dota 2. And the big news, about that is the defending champions have to win one of these qualifiers to get into the International, because they fucked up the original ranking system to be one of the 12 invited teams.
Oh.
There was a team that did something like that at a recent Counter-Strike event where they recruited three players from individual other teams who had played on a team lineup that had major invite status or something like that. So they recruited all of them. So this no-name team was in major qualifiers. I mean, the team, the team org, the org name was nobody fucking knew who these people were, but the players were recognizable. They're like, oh yeah, yeah, him. Right. That was weird though. People were not happy. But that's all I got for esports news. Should we have an esports segment? All right. I think we're gonna wrap it up here and let Mary get back to her screaming child
baby stuff.
That's all right.
Primary parenting.
It's all right. It's good timing. I think we're done here.
Okay.
So, So everybody just. Check us out on Twitter. I don't think we ever post anything.
Nope.
So, okay, maybe don't. At Romsbag on Twitter. See what else.
Here's the website.
What else do I have to plug? Oh, yeah, romsoverbagdad.com, yep. Which is like four episodes behind.
Yep.
We stream.
I'm gonna harass him.
When we record these, we stream them on Twitch as well in video form. We currently don't have a very good schedule, I guess. our lineup is cycling. Some people will be here, some people won't.
Also, next week is the 4th of July on Sunday.
Yep.
So heads up for everybody on that. Yeah, don't expect us again. Yeah, probably not.
Just follow us on Twitter.
Maybe
we need
we'll
to be
actually
better.
Play stuff.
We need to be better about tweeting out the show. It's like, hey, if we are recording.
I gave up Twitter. Period. So,
but yeah, check us out. Our Twitch channel is Roms Over Baghdad, one word. And I think that'll do it. And we will see you the next time we see you. Everybody have a good one.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Where is my fade to black? There it is.